You're listening to Cross the Border. That's the name of this program. I'm Nicholas. What we're doing here is going through the Bible, book by book, chapter by chapter, and verse by verse. We love it all. We love the Word of God here, or at least I do, and that's why I do this every day. And I would venture to say that most people who listen more than, who listen at least to one whole program, they must have some love for the Word of God to be able to endure it. Because the world and those that hate him, they cannot endure his word. Many that call themselves Christians and even go to church every Sunday and listen to other alternative media shows, well, when it comes to the Word of God, it's kind of hard to take. Reminds me of some time ago when someone listening to my program, or actually called the network, about another program on the network, asking me about the time and the schedule and so forth. And after I'd straightened him out on whatever the time schedule was for that, because he had a rebroadcaster, and I says, hey, you should pick up my program after that one. You know, just don't change the channel. And he says, well, it's a little too hardcore Bible for me. And thus was born the phrase hardcore Bible. And I've referred to this program as the Hardcore Bible Program on several occasions since then. But it's a little too hardcore Bible for him. And I granted that it is a little too hardcore Bible for most people. So basically all I do is get on here because I love God's Word. And I really can't think of anything that is much more important than that throughout my days. Except for ministering to the saints, and I do that through my work with other programs where we bring the cause of the saints to the forefront and do other things like that. But basically, this program here, I get to get on here, read the Bible, read the Word of God, and comment on it as I feel led by the Holy Spirit. And anyone else can take part simply by emailing me, going to my website at crosstheborder.org, finding the email link there, and make sure you put Nicholas or some reference to the program, Cross the Border, or the Psalms, or whatever reference you may want to put on there so I can recognize the email for what it is so it doesn't get lost with the other 100 emails that we get on an hourly basis at the network there. So do go there and email me and with any comments, questions, corrections, challenges, or just say hello, I'm listening, and that'll be fine. And I'd be glad to help out anyone in any way I can. So, crosstheborder.org, that's the place. We're in chapter 17 of Psalms, and we got down here to, let's see, where did we get down to? Oh yes, chapter 17 and verse 14, where I hit upon this phrase where it talks, speaking of the ungodly, those that are greedy, those that, persecute the people of God, the wicked. It says that they have their portion in this life. And that's a sad lot. You know, our Heavenly Father, He is so gracious, even to the wicked. He's so gracious to all of us that we're even allowed to be born. It's recorded in the King James Version in the book of Genesis. It says He told Adam specifically, that the day you eat thereof, you shall surely die. Speaking of the forbidden fruit. I mean, here's the way it is. God laid out the law. He created everything. He said, I created everything, Adam, and I'm giving you everything. I'm giving it all to you, Adam. You can take everything you want. Everything is yours, except for one thing. This one thing, I'm retaining my property rights over. Everything else is yours. So Adam had everything in the universe. Everything he could reach and touch. Except for one thing. You know, that'd be like if I let you in my house and you come and I say, this room you can have. As a matter of fact, why don't you just, everything in the whole house is yours. Except my room. I'm going to keep this room for myself. That's the room you're not allowed to go in. You're not supposed to go, don't go in there and take anything. You know, respect my property rights. And besides, I'm giving you everything I have to use as you will. Every room in the house, everything on the whole property. But you go in and you violate my property rights. So that's what Adam and Eve did. They violated God's property rights. He owned everything. He says, I own it all, I made it all, and Adam, I'm giving it all to you, except for this one thing. This is mine. So you may eat of everything, except for the fruit of that tree. Of course, we know how the story went, how they violated his law. And he said, in the day you eat thereof, you shall surely die. And they ate, and in that day, they received their death sentence. And all of us have been born ever since. Yes, we are all born with that death sentence, including you. And if there's any skeptics out there, you too. That's right. You shall surely die. See, that same death sentence, you carry it with you. Is there anyone out there that doesn't believe that they shall surely die? Well, they have a special place for you. The men in the white suits are coming for you right now. You shall surely die. But that's the grace of our God. That's our loving, the loving kindness of our Heavenly Father, is that he didn't kill them in that day. I mean, he could have, you know, the law required their death, but he gave them a grace period. And with that grace period, he added a lot of goodness, good things. Food tastes good, a breath of fresh air, just the enjoyment of it. Oh, how beautiful it is. To see a sunset, what a good thing. All these things are a gift from God. The smile on your children's face, well, how beautiful that is. Everything that you enjoy, even when you enjoy the lusts of the flesh, the enjoyment is good, isn't it? That's right. So every good thing that you feel, see, touch, hear, enjoy, is a gift from God. Even though you take his gifts and pervert them, it's still his gift. That he allows you to do that, that he gives you that grace period. And he's only giving you that grace period for one purpose. So you could decide, do I want good things forever? Or do I hate good things? I mean, basically, that's what it boils down to. Do you love sin? Do you want to take the good things he gave you and pervert them? Is that more important than anything else? And that's what I'm trying to emphasize here with this verse, is that they have their portion in this life. But when this life is gone, when their grace period is up, when they step over that threshold of mortality into immortality, yes, and they will have immortality, but it will be an immortality, an unending existence with no good thing. It's a frightening thought. Can you grasp it? Eternity. No, you're not just going to die and go to the grave and be non-existent like, well, they would have you believe in the public fool system. Those of you who believe in the evolution, you came out of nothing, you are responsible to no one, and life has no meaning. So just live it up and enjoy all the sin you can, regardless of the cost, regardless of who has to suffer for your enjoyment. Because when you die, it's just going to all end. And you're just going to be recycled into the earth and the universe. What a comforting thought, huh? Well, I'm here to give you a not so comfortable thought. Eternity with no good thing, because your portion is in this life. And because you weren't able to look beyond this life, because you wanted to focus on whatever you could get out of this life at any cost, regardless of the law of God, regardless of the suffering of your fellow man and the price they would have to pay for your sin, how they would suffer for your disobedience. Because yes, when people disobey God, more people suffer. That's evident. Your portion is in this life. And when you cross the threshold of eternity into immortality, well, your immortality will be in hell forever, where there will be no good thing, because all good things are a gift from God, and there is no exception to that rule. So they have their portion in this life, and whose belly thou fillest with thy hid treasure. They are full of children and leave the rest of their sustenance to their babes. I mean, they can't take anything. Every good thing that they've gathered to themselves, that they've worked so hard for in this life, they're going to leave it all. Their treasure is going to be left behind. They're not going to be able to take anything with them. And that's why the Messiah said, store ye up treasures where rust and moth does not corrupt. Yeah, store up a treasure in heaven, and your treasure will be there. We have to have a portion that will outlast this life. As for me, verse 15, I will behold thy face in righteousness. As for me, I will behold thy face in righteousness. I shall be satisfied when I awake in thy likeness. Man, here's a man of faith. You know, he didn't have the New Testament, but he knew. He was looking forward to the promised Redeemer of mankind. He knew that he would awake, as he puts it, with thy likeness. As he was transformed, as he laid his life down, and he arose with a new body, immortal, a body that would never corrupt, never be killed, never suffer sickness or sorrow or pain or hunger or heat. David clarifies here that the faith, yes, from the beginning, David was looking forward to the same thing that we are looking forward. And he proclaims it here, I shall be satisfied. They're satisfied now with their portion in this life. But he says, I shall be satisfied when I awake with thy likeness. For now I'm satisfied that I will awake with his likeness. And I shall be satisfied when I awake with thy likeness. I join David. I join the psalmist here. Whatever portion this life has to offer is not enough for me. You know, our Heavenly Father, he put something in us all, an instinct for survival. And that instinct for survival he put in us for a good reason, because he wanted us to carry that instinct for survival to the extreme, looking forward to eternity. I never want to die. And I look around me and I see that everybody is dying. So the portion that this life has to offer is only temporary. I want to survive. I don't want to die. And there's only one out there that is offering me eternal life in his likeness. And he went into the grave and he rose from the dead just to show us the way and to show us that his word was true and that we would could count on it. Then he fills us with his spirit, so that we can commune directly with him. Then we receive that hidden knowledge that the world can't receive, because they don't know him, but we know him. And his spirit bears witness with our spirit that these things are true. And we know that we will awake in his likeness. We will be like him. Psalm chapter 18 and verse 1. To the chief musician, a psalm of David, the servant of Yahuwah, who spoke unto the Lord with words of this song in the day that the Lord delivered him from the hand of his enemies and from the hand of Saul. And he said, I will love thee, Yahuwah, my strength, the Lord. And in the received text, his name, Yahuwah, is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, my God, my strength, in whom I will trust, my buckler and the horn of my salvation, and my high tower. I will call upon the Lord, who is worthy to be praised, and I shall be saved from my enemies. The sorrows of death compassed me, and the floods of ungodly men made me afraid. The sorrows of hell compassed me about. The snares of death prevented me. In my distress I called upon the Lord. He cried and cried unto my God, and he heard my voice out of his temple, and my cry came before him, even into his ears. Then the earth shook and trembled. The foundation also of the hills moved and were shaken because he was wroth. There went up a smoke out of his nostrils and fire out of his mouth, devoured. Coals were kindled by it. He bowed the heavens also and came down, and darkness was under his feet. And he rode upon a cherub and did fly. Yea, he did fly upon the wings of the wind. He made darkness his secret place, his pavilion round about him were dark waters and thick clouds of the skies. At the brightness that was before him, his thick clouds passed, hail stones and coals of fire. Yahuwah also thundered in the heavens, and the highest gave his voice, hail stones and coals of fire. Yea, he sent out his arrows and scattered them, and he shot out lightnings and discomfited them. Then the channels of waters were seen, and the foundations of the world were discovered at thy rebuke, Yahuwah. At the blast of the breath of thy nostrils, he sent from above. He took me. He drew me out of many waters. He delivered me from my strong enemy, and from them which hated me, for they were too strong for me. They prevented me in the day of my calamity, but the Lord was my stay. He brought me forth also into a large place. He delivered me because he delighted in me. The Lord rewarded me according to my righteousness, according to the cleanness of my hands hath he recompensed me. For I have kept the ways of Yahuwah and have not wickedly departed from my God. For all his judgments were before me, and I did not put away his statutes from me. I was also upright before him, and I kept myself from mine iniquity. You know, what is David proclaiming here? Well, he's proclaiming his works, how he strives to live a life that is pleasing to the Heavenly Father. And here he admits, I also was upright before him, and I kept myself from mine iniquity, recognizing his past sin and his propensity toward those things, and how we have to keep ourselves, and that it is a struggle. It is something that we have to work on every day of our life. We have to keep ourselves from iniquity. He continues in verse 24, therefore hath Yahuwah, the Lord, recompensed me according to my righteousness. You know, he's not talking about selfish righteousness here. He's talking about the righteousness of our Creator. He's talking about the righteousness that he imputes to us. The righteousness that we receive by following him and having a true desire to do only those things that please him. Because that is the love of God. And Yahshua, Jesus, proclaimed it when he said, if you love me, keep my commandments. And you know, I see the same type of proclamation here in David as just see an agreement there with everything that David is saying and everything that the Messiah said. If you love me, keep my commandments. I believe that's exactly, and that is only what David is proclaiming here, is that he loves his Creator. He loves Yahuwah. He loves God, the Lord, however you want to put it. And he keeps his commandments, and he keeps himself, as he says here, and I keep myself from mine iniquity, those things that I've fallen for in the past, those things that would trip me up. I keep myself from them. He says, therefore the Lord recompense me according to my righteousness, according as I have practiced his righteousness, according to the cleanness of my hands in his eyesight. With the merciful thou wilt show thyself merciful. With an upright man thou wilt show thyself upright. With the pure thou wilt show thyself pure. And with the froward thou wilt show thyself froward. We'll pick up here after these messages. Don't go anywhere. You're listening to Cross the Border.